So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through to 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. And trust that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word.
Please do stay in Ephesians 2, looking at the first three verses. And looking at this makes me ask this question. Do we know how bad and weak we are? These verses tell us that in order for us to appreciate the good news of Jesus Christ, we need to believe the bad news about ourselves first. That we're so bad and so weak that we cannot produce faith in ourselves. And that only God can give faith. And that's the main point of his sermon is this. Let's believe that we cannot produce faith. And the reason why we can't produce faith is in verse 1. Because we were born spiritually dead. So in verse 1, the Apostle Paul, he tells the Ephesian Christians what they were like before God gave them faith in Christ. Dead in transgressions and sins. And that's a description that can be given to anyone before coming to Christ, including us. Spiritually dead. And in Ephesians, to be spiritually dead is to be incapable of producing faith in ourselves. And verse 6, we see how God saves those he has chosen to save. By raising his people with Christ and seating his people with him in the heavenly realms. Here we have a description of conversion. And the language that Paul uses here of conversion, of coming to faith in Christ, is spiritual resurrection. You see, when the Lord gives somebody faith, they are spiritually raised by him, waiting for the bodily resurrection that will come on the last day. Spiritually raised now by being united to Christ in heaven by the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to say too much more about verse 6 because I don't want to steal the thunder of a future preacher. But what it is important for us to see from verse 6 is that it is God who raises people from the dead. God is the one who converts. Verse 8 tells us that faith is a gift from God. See, the Ephesian Christians, they didn't give themselves faith. They didn't spiritually raise themselves from the dead any more than they will give themselves resurrection bodies on that day when the Lord Jesus comes. A corpse is incapable of raising itself from the dead. In the Gospels, no one raises themselves from the dead. It's always Jesus, isn't it? Is the one who makes the dead come to life. And when the dead were raised in the Gospels, they didn't give Jesus a helping hand. They were incapable of doing that. The miracle was always 100% the work of the Lord Jesus. 0% the work of the dead person. And we are meant to see conversion like this. A miracle of God. A resurrection from the dead. Something that only God can do. And let's not make the mistake of thinking that the gift of faith is to be given the ability to reject or choose Christ. As if God gives us a helping hand to start us off, and we finish off the work of producing faith. That's not how it works. See, to think like that would be like thinking that Lazarus gave a helping hand to Jesus when Jesus raised him from the dead. Let's know and believe that faith is 100% God's work and 0% ours. And give all the credit to God for our faith and for the faith of others. A very important reason to believe that we are completely spiritually dead outside of Christ is so that we will fully appreciate the greatness of God's power in his salvation given in Christ. See, if we think that we have the power in ourselves to produce faith in ourselves, we will not fully appreciate the greatness of God's salvation in Christ. This is a hard teaching. Not everyone can accept it. It's hard to accept that we are incapable of producing faith in ourselves. See, for those of us with faith, which I suspect is everybody here, but it's natural to think that we have faith because we had the power inside us to believe in Christ off our own back. The world we live in tells us all the time, doesn't it, that we have the power to choose our own destiny. But we don't have the power to choose Christ, no matter how often the world tells us that we do. We were spiritually dead before we came to Christ. We couldn't just choose to believe in him. Let's humbly accept that. Let's humbly accept that we were too weak to save ourselves, to produce faith in ourselves. And let's see what a wondrous miracle it is when somebody comes to faith in Christ. Yeah, it is, biblically, what the Bible tells us is, it's as big a miracle as somebody being physically raised from the dead. Something only God can do. It's so easy to take the miracle of the gift of faith for granted, isn't it? Perhaps because even as Christians who've been taught this, who know this, we can just drift into forgetting that the gift of faith is a mighty, mighty work of God. And by default, just end up thinking faith is something that we've produced ourselves. Let's not take the miracle of faith for granted, but praise God for his great power and grace whenever he gives a spiritually dead person faith. Let's be truly humble before God and acknowledge that only he has the power to do this miracle. And that's why it's so important to ask God in prayer to give faith to those who don't have faith and to strengthen the faith of those who do. We express our dependence and humility before him when we make that prayer. And in the same way that we couldn't produce faith in ourselves the first time, at the time of conversion, at the time of regeneration, we don't have the power in ourselves to make our faith stronger. Nor do we have the power in ourselves to fight sin, to turn away from it. It's something that only God can do. And he uses prayer to strengthen the faith of his people. And God uses prayer to give his power to make repentance, turning away from sin, happen. And let's not think that we can give faith to others. Let's not think if we do a good job of evangelism, it's a sure thing that the person that we are evangelizing will come to faith. You know, that is pride. We can all fall into it, but it is pride. And it is proud for a church to start predicting the numbers that are going to be converted in the future. It's a big mistake to try to force somebody or nag somebody or manipulate somebody into faith. You know that saying, that old saying, don't flog a dead horse? Well, that comes into play here. In the same way that you can't bring a dead horse to life by flogging it, you can't make non-believers who are spiritually dead alive by giving them faith. But let's also be encouraged by God's power in the work of evangelism, which all churches, all Christians are called to. Now, we can be totally confident that God will, by his mighty power, save everybody that he has chosen to save at the time of his choosing. So let's share the good news of the Lord Jesus, confident in God's power to save. Confident that God will use his means of bringing about salvation, the sharing of the gospel and our prayers, to do that miracle of giving faith to his elect. We can expect rejection of the gospel from those that God has not, in his wisdom, has not chosen to save. But we can also expect acceptance of the gospel from those that God has chosen to save. So knowing this truth, let's persevere in doing evangelism, even in those times when, in God's sovereignty, we encounter lots of rejection. And if there is anyone here without faith in Christ tonight, please don't think that you can leave it later to choose Jesus, as if faith is something that you're going to be able to conjure up at the time of your choosing. Faith can't just be manufactured. It can't be planned like that. The best thing to do is to simply surrender to the rule of the Lord Jesus now. I now move on to the second reason I see in this passage why we cannot produce faith in ourselves. So let's believe that we cannot produce faith because we were born enslaved to the devil. So the reason that outside of Christ we are spiritually dead and powerless to produce faith is because we are wicked. So wicked that without God giving faith, we would be totally, utterly under the rule and control of the devil. And that's clear in verse 2. Paul says that the Ephesian Christians, before they came to Christ, followed the devil. Now, the devil has several names in the Bible. Satan is the other well-known one. Here in verse 2, he is called the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And there is a shocking truth here, a shocking truth that everyone either follows the devil or follows the Lord Jesus. And those of us who follow Christ shouldn't get big-headed because we're the ones who don't follow the devil. Because without God giving us faith, we too would be following the devil. And before God gave us faith in Christ, we too were followers of the devil. Let's not think that the only people who follow the devil are Satanists or witches or people into the occult. Verses 2 to 3 tell us that the way that the devil enslaves non-believers is by enslaving to sin. So whether sins of the occult or more subtle forms of sin, kinds of sin, like bitterness or greed or sexual immorality. So in verse 2, we see that the way that the devil is followed is by following the ways of the world. And following the ways of the world is following everyday sin. As verse 3 says, having sin as master by refusing to say no to it. The language used is gratifying the cravings and desires of our sinful nature. Now, all Christians sin. Sin happens after conversion. But believers in the Lord Jesus fight sin while non-believers don't. With the power of Christ, of course. Because those in Christ are no longer enslaved to sin, no longer under the power of the devil. But raised with Christ and through union with him, with the power to fight sin and turn away from it. Notice that in this passage, that Paul speaks to the Ephesian church as people who followed the devil before they were given faith. So the implication is clear. After being given faith, the Ephesian church are no longer under the devil's control. Now with the power which comes from union with Christ to fight sin, to repent of it. The way the devil enslaves is by enslaving to sin. The devil uses sin to blind non-believers to the glory of God. The devil deceives non-believers into believing that sin offers more than Christ. And most who are under the power of the devil, the vast majority of people who are under the power of the devil, are not even aware that they are following him. That's not to say, but it's all the devil's fault. Verse 3 tells us that we were by nature objects of wrath, which means that we all deserve to face the holy, righteous wrath of God in hell. Because when we sin, we willingly follow the devil. And only God can break this power, the power of Satan, by graciously giving faith to those that he has chosen to save, by pouring his spirit on his elect and uniting them to Christ in heaven. None of us are good enough in the characters and natures that we were born with to break free from the control of Satan, from the power of sin. Because we're born sinners who naturally prefer sin over Jesus every time. Our natural will that we were born with is to worship man-made things and prefer them to Jesus. Now, I'm sure people here know what Daleks are. Now, the new Doctor Who, they've changed. But in the old Doctor Who, which I can just about remember, in the 70s and 80s, the Daleks were the enemy who could show no pity and no mercy. The characters they had could do nothing else but work for the extermination of all non-Dalek life. Now, in the same way that a Dalek can show no pity, left to their own devices, our characters, left up to our devices, can do nothing but choose sin over Christ and follow the devil. Now, really, here we have in this passage the biblical doctrine of total depravity. Doesn't mean we're born as wicked as we can be, but it does mean that we are incapable of producing faith in ourselves because of our wickedness. So no matter how long we have trusted and loved Jesus, even if it's many decades, let's never forget how wicked we are when left to our own devices, the characters that we were born with. Let's never forget that no matter how much we have served Christ and his church, we all deserve to go to hell and be punished by God forever in torment. So if we forget that, we forget God's grace in Christ and we can easily become moralists. Let's believe in our hearts that only through the blood of Christ and nothing we have done that our sins are forgiven. And if we have faith in Christ, let's see what a gracious act of God it was to give us faith. Now, when we talk of God's grace, we rightly stress the death of Jesus. We rightly do. The cross is central. But we can forget God's grace in giving faith. It's an amazing act of undeserved mercy, undeserved love, for God to give faith to people who follow the devil. But that's precisely what God does every time he gives someone faith in Christ. That's precisely what he did in us. So let's always be grateful to God for giving faith to wicked people like us who didn't deserve it, who didn't deserve to be given faith. And let's love God all the more for his mercy and grace in doing this. If we have faith in Christ, let's thank God that he has given us faith without falling into the trap of the Pharisee, who thanked God he was better than the tax collector. If we've understood that faith is 100% the work of God, we won't fall into that kind of pride. But we will be humbled by God's glorious grace. It's easy when we see disbelief around us to become Pharisaical and start thinking that the reason that we have faith but others don't is because there's something inherently better and wiser and cleverer in us compared to them. Let's repent of this way of thinking and let's be humbled by the grace of God. When we see disbelief around us, whether it's somebody who's backslidden, who's in the church, or somebody who's never professed faith, let's remember that the only reason we have faith is because God, in his infinite mercy, has given us faith. That's all. That's the only reason. And let's remember, we don't deserve faith more than anybody else. We don't deserve faith more than those who don't have faith. And in fact, like everybody else, none of us deserves faith at all. So the person who's got the strongest faith in the whole world, and I don't know who that person is no more deserving of faith than the most wicked person on the face of the earth. So let's never look down on those who don't have faith. And let's not get complacent in the fight against sin. So when we are keeping away from certain sins that we used to be enslaved to, it's easy to become complacent, to think perhaps that we are better than we really are. It's easy to fall into the trap thinking that our natural goodness will keep us from sin. And there's no need to ask for God's help. But as this passage makes very clear, as God's word tells us, our hearts are naturally wicked. And that means that we can fall into sin at any time, no matter how much progress that we have made in godliness. So we do need to be vigilant and regularly pray to God to keep us from temptation, to keep us from sin. And pray to get God to give us more joy in Christ than in sin. And let's take encouragement from Ephesians 2. Although we are naturally wicked, in Christ we can be changed. So we shouldn't get defeatist and think that we are incapable of changing, incapable of repenting of sins, even the sins that are most enticing to us. Let's take encouragement that in Christ we are no longer under Satan's power. Let's glorify Christ by repenting of our sins. And let's trust in the Lord Jesus to change us and give us victories in the fight against the flesh. Let's express this trust in Christ's mighty power by praying for his power in that battle against sin. Praying in his name. Let's pray now. Loving Father, we acknowledge before you that we are sinners, that outside of the Lord Jesus, we would be spiritually dead and followers of the devil. Father, we pray for you to strengthen our faith, to keep us humble and grateful to you for your wondrous grace and power in giving faith to us. And Father, we pray that you would keep us from pride, that you would give us confidence in your power to save, to bring about conversions, and as a result of that, that we would honour you in the way we go about evangelism. And Father, we pray for your power to overcome sin, to put the flesh to death. We acknowledge that we are helpless in ourselves to do this. We pray all this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.